Oh, if you listen to the last podcast, that's not a great way to start a podcast, I feel like, just making a grunt sound into it. But I'm going with it today because this has been one of those weeks. I am a huge fan of leasing cars. I have every car that I've had basically has been a lease. My beloved leased BMW i3, who I affectionately call Howard, got lit up by a non-license carrying driver on the highway on the way into work on Tuesday. And just took it to Gerber Collision and Glass, where they told me it's going to be like 20 G's to fix. So that's pretty disappointing. And I don't know what the worst part. I was mad more about the car damage or about the fact that the Technori logo was messed up on it. I think that's what pissed me off the most. But the bottom line is it's a lease. And so for me, I feel a lot less pressure than, say, if my fiance had her car and it got whacked up. She owns it, and that's kind of on her, and you got to keep paying for it and regardless. And so for those of you out there who have questions about leases and also want to know, you know, why one would lease versus not, this is not usually the kind of show you would go for that, but this one today is. And then also how leasing can be made easier and better, and there's a company out there also in Chicago that does it better than anyone, carlease.com. I have its CEO, Andy O'Dower, in studio to talk about, woes of my car, and then we're going to talk about carlease.com, and we're going to talk about why leasing is better than buying cars, at least in my opinion, and then we're going to get into the real nitty-gritty of why companies like Carlease is so much better than Lease Trader and things like that. So they're different. It's not the same exact thing for obvious reasons, which Andy will get into, but from my vantage point, Carlease makes it much easier to get a car that I want, that has all the things I'm looking for in my driveway without me having to go through hell to get there.
Wait a minute, wait a turn minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. Play it I hope though, you right. got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves. We talking Scott Catoon.
Without further ado, I want to welcome Andy to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. So before I get lost in all this stuff, is there, or am I kidding myself, is there an advantage of the fact that my now defunct car was a lease versus a buy?
Well, yes. If you look at it, most likely if it's a lease, it's going to be a newer make model vehicle.
Oh, it is.
So if you have insurance,
I do.
Step one.
Or if the other person did not. So his insurance was an insurance company I have never heard of in my life. The person who, my insurance mm-hmm. nationwide was like, I have heard of this. It is bizarre, and the name on it is maybe not the same name that mm-hmm. of the person who hit you, so we're gonna have to deal with that. I am insured. We've got that. So there is that.
Yes. So, you know, getting that replacement value back, and insurance companies are better and better than they used to be on recent model vehicles yeah. and replacement value on that, because consumers demand it. Partly because you get a brand new car and it depreciates really quickly right yeah. away. Well, if you own that car, you know, you take that depreciation hit and you carry that depreciation hit for the next few years.
And that's the thing, is most people don't use gap insurance.
That's true.
So like if you have a car, you're three yeah. or 4 year car, and you do everything you can to keep it clean, and then mm-hmm. someone blows it up, it's like, I hate to tell you folks, but the gap insurance, as a person who's had to use it, sucks. It doesn't actually, doesn't come near. That's like getting yes. Apple Care for an extra extended year. Don't. It's not worth it.
And so, yeah. So in your situation, you've got that covered and you're in a recent model vehicle. Now you can go back and take that and with a monthly payment, get as good or better of a car,
yeah.
Especially right now with a lease. And so, you know, for us, that really sucks for
yes.
your situation.
Yeah.
So we try to make it really convenient. If yeah. you say, I want the same thing. I love that car. I
yes.
love everything about that car and it's gone. I just want the exact same car. Well, that's perfect. We can find that for you and get it delivered to your door. So you don't have to do anything. You've already been through enough.
Yes. So let's go into that. Like, just to be clear to the audience, what mm-hmm. is carlease.com?
Sure.
Soup to nuts.
So Carlease is the way to lease a new car. And it's convenient. It's transparent and it's quick. So for us, our customer is looking for transparency in pricing. So we offer that. Customers can come to carlease.com. They can call us. They can email us with what vehicle they want. We will find it. We work with dealers all over the city of Chicago. And we will find that exact vehicle they want, deliver it to their home or office, and give them a fair price. And they know that they're getting that quickly and conveniently, and that is a service that, you know, really doesn't exist right now in that market. People are you know, they've got other things to do with their life. And they don't want buying a car, leasing a car, to be a difficult, painful experience. And so that's where we come in.
So I want to dive into one part of this that I think is particularly unique. You mentioned it, but you kind of glazed mm-hmm. over it, is the partnership with dealers.
Sure.
That's a key differentiator. And one of the things that, like, I'm going to speak from my own personal example is obviously being a leaser. I don't know. I'm not leasing the cars out, so I'm not the lesser. I'm the lessee. But mm-hmm. anyway, a leaser of cars. I got my parents into the leasing of cars. They were okay. always a buy car. And I yep. was like, that's really dumb. And as you get older, that's even dumber.
Correct.
And you know, you don't know how, like right now you need a wagon because you move stuff in the front yard, but like how many years until you don't do mm-hmm. that? And now you've got this car.
Yep.
The concern that they had when I brought them to Lease Trader was they didn't know where the car was coming from. Mm-hmm. Was it coming from a wholesaler? Was it coming yep. from an individual? They're very uncomfortable. It took them buying, I think, I want to say it was almost two cars cycles that they went through of me trying to convince them Lease Trader was the way to go at that time. This is like mm-hmm. 7 years ago that this mm-hmm. started. And it never could break through the, I don't know where the car is coming from.
Yep.
And that's the part that you guys do differently, among other things, that I think is a massive, I would say, barrier removal. Because most people that don't have never leased before, the lease barrier is not because it's they're afraid of getting a better deal, which is what a lease is. It's mm-hmm. a better deal. You don't have to pay for the whole car, so yep. it's already better. But what they're afraid of is the unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys clear up the unknowns, but then also say to them, like, I'm not competing with BMW of Lyle. Like, you can go there. Whatever you want to do, we're just finding it for you and making sure, because we have a mastery of all of their inventories, to make sure that if BMW of Lyle doesn't have this model you want, Barrington Auto does, or BMW of Rosemont does, whatever. So like that is, to me, is a way for, if we could get carlease.com into the hands of particularly older folks, I think you remove that fear factor that has been keeping them out of the lease market.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a few generational things where people, you know, previously valued ownership. And there's certainly assets of, you know,
we don't own anything.
You own appreciating assets,
yeah.
you lease depreciating
Correct.
Assets. You know, that's just an axiom that, you know, people look at in terms of finance and look
but
at that.
It's funny, though, that they you know, didn't naturally. Yeah. Like, that's a thing that has been,
mm-hmm. yep.
and you couldn't, like, you have deal with this every day. I could never win that argument. I've tried it with my friends. I'm serious. I've yeah. tried it with my friends. I have so many friends, and I'm just going to call them idiots because that's what they are, that we're buying cars through these, like, 8 years. I've gone through three. Mm-hmm. I have a brand new car every 3 years, and it's awesome. And it's a BMW that I pay. Well, in this case, it's a sponsor, so I don't. But if I did, it's a car that I pay usually the same or less than mm-hmm. my friends who have a brand that is significantly yeah. less of a quality car. And but I couldn't win yep. the argument of the depreciating asset thing.
Yep, that's changing though, and if it's not the depreciating asset factor that is driving the increase in leasing, a lot of it can be the technology, and so people are looking at vehicles as, you know, they look at it as subscription. I look yep. at my iPhone as a subscription, and you can see manufacturers of devices are looking at it as a subscription, monthly payment. What's my monthly payment next year? I want it to be better than it is this year. I mean, people get the iPhone 10, and then 2 months later they already think it's slow and they're sick of it and they're ready for something even faster. It happens that quickly. And then you look at different advancements in safety and the technology that's in the vehicles and the operating systems that are going to be in the vehicles and that are in there now, that drives adoption much faster. So if the rational economic driver isn't there, it's going to be the new cool technology factor that drives people into it. And then, you know, as people do, you know, they get older, they can see, yeah, in 3 years, I'm going to need a different car. So do I want to be stuck in the 7-year loan cycle?
Yeah.
I'm going to want the latest and greatest always.
And that's definitely a newer kind of development that people are yeah. constantly looking for, the latest and greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding the iPhone 10, the speed and everything was fine. The fact that an emergency calls every time I put it in my pocket because the face ID doesn't work, that's a whole other conversation. But you brought mm-hmm. up another point that also on my checklist of things that Carlease does very cool is the technology. So you mentioned mm-hmm. about all of the, one, there's the tech play on your company, yep. which we'll get into.
Yep.
But there is the fact that, and this is, we battle with this at Technori with conversations every day with people, mm-hmm. that there's this, and this is not meant to be something that you guys are trying to do or anything. It's just technology is replacing humans in certain jobs. Mm-hmm. And it sucks. And it's hard to accept that. And it's hard to figure out where we're going to go, whatever. But I got to tell you, I don't feel guilty at all about taking the job of car salesman. And I'm not saying that you are, mm-hmm. but what I'm getting at is, for a person to get a lease, any person, mm-hmm. younger than me, older than me, doesn't matter, you are reliant on that salesperson knowing you and what you want and what you need, and then knowing the inventory like that, and knowing what cars have this kind of technology that will address this need and mm-hmm. that need, and they don't. They just don't know it well, and they're not incentivized to spend all day long trying to learn about what you need. Yep. They want to get the car moved. You guys offer a platform that does not smell like cheap lavender. That I can go online in my own house and punch in, like, I got three kids, I've got this, I mm-hmm. want, you know, whatever you want. And you put it in front of them.
Yeah, it's a massive technology undertaking, because for us specifically, too, we are bringing in every make and model out there.
Yeah.
So
literally
every make and model. There's the handful of some exotic cars and things like that that, you know, your average customer, you know, isn't looking for right
now
away.
Now you can get the Alfa Romeo. That was off the list for a while.
Yeah.
Now it's back.
Yeah, it's back. And and they're aggressively pricing lease deals.
They certainly are.
And so, you know, so we bring in all of this data, and this is ever evolving. So every day it gets a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better, to be able to show a customer, based on your needs, here are a variety of different manufacturers that you could look at. Here are the best SUVs under $400 in this category. And so, you know, every day the tech gets better, so we can present a better user experience. It's iterative. And so, yes, one person isn't going to be able to have all that knowledge in their head right away of how many cars have a third row SUV under $400 that, you know, won this safety award. You know, that's where we can come in and then be much more powerful, and then empower the customer to be able to say, wow, that could have taken me 3 hours and 32 tabs open on my laptop on an afternoon versus happening 30 seconds. And then I can also put in my information and see what vehicles are near me, and then I can get it a good accurate price and get it delivered. So from that angle, from a rational customer, what would I want out of this? I know I don't want friction. I don't always know what that friction means, whether that's lots of phone calls or visits or anything else. But I've got other things I want to do. I want information. I want it quickly. And every single e-commerce platform, you know, the Amazons and everything else have raised the bar. They raise the expectation, just like the phone.
Yep.
You know, as soon as you get one click ordering, you want to be able to
glance at it.
Yeah, you want to glance at it and you want to order it.
Yep.
So the expectations rise every single day, and so that pushes us every single day to make it even more seamless.
And the other part about this, from the technology standpoint for you guys, is that, again, and I'm not, I don't, it's been a while since I went on Lease Trader, so I don't know mm-hmm. that this is how it still is, but it used to be a whole bunch of boxes to click. Mm-hmm. You had to basically build out the whole thing, and it never got smarter.
Yep.
I would come back, and it never knew who I was. It never knew anything, even though you'd log in.
Yep, start
over. And there was, there you had to pay up front to even be like a premium user, to even mm-hmm. like look at stuff.
Yep.
And it was just laden with all kinds of weird stuff that, from a UX standpoint, again, 10 years ago, it wasn't an issue, but now mm-hmm. it is.
Yep.
You guys appear to be built to be smarter.
Mm-hmm.
And so over time, as and knowing that your involvement with Lightbank, it's a foregone conclusion that there's going to be a great data play for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So people that come to the site and do this, they don't have to keep doing this over and over again. Like, as time goes on, they've got the ability to get the car this time and another car. And I'm sure, maybe not today, but down the road here, I'm sure you guys will have the ability to know that the family's grown or whatever, and make suggestions that there's a lease special coming up. If you have a BMW now, you've had it for 2 years, you can upgrade discounted today, because we know this and we know you. It just makes life way easier. The less time you spend sitting in a waiting room at a dealership because they got to go talk to their manager to approve a price, like, the better the world is.
Yeah, we think of it as, you know, in the beginning, it's that first transaction. We give a great experience on that first transaction. We're much more likely to get you to come back. Or in the beginning, refer a friend or a family member. And, you know, a good part that with us having all the makes and models, you could say, well, I like this. My wife or husband likes this. You can't always get that anywhere else. You might be stuck. We're both getting Jeeps.
Yeah.
Or, you know, for us to be able to say a year from now, you'll let me know that there's a great lease deal on BMWs. And I wouldn't have known that otherwise, but you have my information and we want to be helpful
and suggest. You're not just going to send me just a BMW that's on sale.
Exactly.
You're going to send me my BMW that's on sale, which is the, so if I can just win with the future wife's depreciating asset argument, if I can just win, I can refer her through CarLease to get her new car that way, which then we all win. One other part I want to talk about with you on this in particular on the sales part, I made the little bad joke about the fact that every time you go into a car dealership, they make you wait randomly while they talk to the person who they had to talk to anyway. I don't understand the process. I think they think that they're going to like wait me out, but I got nothing to do, so I'm here all day. But you guys have a different process. Like I can actually get a car delivered to my house, done.
Correct.
Talk to me about the sales part, because that's the part I think people think, oh, I can search for it, great, so then it's through a dealer, and then I go get it. No, you actually can take care of the final mile.
Correct. So we handle everything at that point.
Yep.
So for, you know, we know because our customers are coming to us for value and convenience and selection. So when they come to us for that, they also equate that value and convenience as this thing can show up at my door. When it shows up at my door, if I haven't signed all the paperwork will all be there, and I can spend 5 minutes to do that, or I could spend an hour to do that. If you want us to help you set up the Bluetooth, we'll be happy to do that, because that's always a sticking point of, or walk you through the features if it's not the exact same car that you got before, because most people that lease, high 90% lease again.
Yep.
And so,
because it's better.
Yeah. So that, yeah, that you do it once and you see, wow, I like this access versus ownership.
I didn't lose half my money the day I drove off
exactly.
a lot. This is great.
Yeah. And so for us, you know, we want that final, that last mile to be just as easy because, you know, I think a lot of that purchase, people get the deal fatigue. They're excited. They want a new car. They start shopping around. They look online. Then they think about all the other things that they have to do, and they might put off going for a visit. They might want to do a test drive, or maybe they'll just get in an Uber and say, I like this ride. This is a great car. Maybe this is the car we want to get. So there's a lot of different ways that people are researching and discovering. And as it takes a period of time, we found when they come to us, they look at it as, oh, see, this is the last interaction I have to make. This last call I have to make. This is the last email exchange I have to make. This is the last selection. And from there, it'll just happen. And so for us, you know, it's, and it's no surprises too.
Yeah.
That the price that we tell you is the price that you'll pay. It is taxes included, everything else included, you know, versus, you know, what I think a lot of advertising has trained people to see teaser offers and teaser rates. And that's something that, you know, I think you lose a lot of credibility in that sale if it's just a teaser to get you really to come in for something else. And so we firmly believe that, you know, when we price, it's a fair price. And you know that if you came to CarLease and your neighbor came to CarLease, that you both got a fair price.
Yeah.
And we're going to be upfront and show this is everything factored into it. So you can see what that true monthly payment is.
So one of the questions I actually had on here was on the price itself. So like how the pricing with lease certain and things like that, it's obviously a marketplace. It's a little bit different, you know, completely different thing. But in this particular case, you know, I fashion myself as a pretty good negotiator. So when I go into these places, usually I sometimes go to dealerships just to shake people down and I don't actually buy the car. I was bored. I want to have a good time. But that's not even a joke, actually. That's kind of sad. But the bottom line is, I do try to do a pretty good job of getting the lease terms down to a good amount and the least amount of money put up front and things like that.
Yep.
How do you guys factor prices? Like, let's say Barrington, you know, is doing this and BMW of Westmont's doing that. How are you guys, like, what kind of, how are the pricing options done? Is there negotiating? Is there, like, how does that work?
Sure. So, that's, the, you know, the good part is we have so many dealer relationships and partnerships, and we do a volume across the city that puts us at an advantage for our customers. Because, you know, for a customer that, even if it's once every 3 years, that's still a small amount.
Yeah, but that's
doing
the thing.
We're doing a high volume, and we can work to get that base price down as much as possible for you versus starting from scratch every 3 years or longer and going in as that one-time, one-off buy. So, you know, for us, it's a volume play that because we're big enough that we can work out those deals beforehand. So when you come to us, you know, hey, I've got you know, car leases helping with their buying power. And, and there's a lot of, businesses that that help their customers on buying power.
I mean,
your Costco volume buying power. You look at it and say, that's why I'm getting a deal.
So you feel like on the price-wise, like you guys are going to come in cheaper oftentimes than if I walked into straight into a dealer?
Yeah, we don't.
Obviously not going to compete.
Don't. Yeah, we're much more about the value and the convenience and a fair price.
This is still like it is a concierge ish thing.
Yeah,
I don't mean to say that in a luxury.
Yeah,
way,
we
but
look
like
at it as the absolute cut rate. I think what we're finding and what we're finding with a lot of customers is they don't want to go in and do battle.
Yeah.
They don't like to have to do battle. And they look at their time as really valuable. And especially, you know, when you look at growing families on the weekends, if you throw an hourly rate on your time and then say on the weekends, I could be at a baseball game.
Sure.
I could be doing this with my kids versus I could be up doing battle to save a few $100. And they look at that, they'll gladly do the exchange to say, perfect. I got this delivered. I got a fair price. I got a transparent price in the beginning and I got the convenience factor.
Yeah, and I think also for me, like, I would do it once. Like, I would go through the big battle and then be like, oh, I won. You know, I won this first one. And then I feel like, all right, that was a lot of time wasted. Like, really, as long as the price is, like, reasonably close, like, I think I would rather just have you guys do it.
Yeah, and a lot of the, and that's what we see more and more of people looking at it, of saying, maybe that's what I would have done before. And I think, you know, back to leasing versus buying, I think when it was that monumental of the purchase where you know I'm going to be locked into this thing for 7 years, I'm going to have a long, it's a big purchase, it's, you know, second to my mortgage or, you know, retirement investing. That's top three right there of all your, you know, big major expenses aside from education. So I think that's when the purchase was that big, people looked at it as I'm ready to do battle. But as more and more people are looking to lease, they're
like
saying,
you said, the
I'm
subscription.
Just looking for a fair price.
Yeah. And honestly, so here's the big burning question that I've got for you. And this is, I don't know if you're gonna be able to get past this one. I'm not going to lie. When you guys deliver this car, does it also have one of those cheap plastic dealer logos on the back of the license plate? That's the one thing I hate. I get a new car and every single time I gotta unscrew.
That's the one chance to advertise.
I know, I hate it. Like, I do that or like the worst is like the biggest offenders, the one that I glue on something on a trunk.
Yeah,
it's that's not cool.
We have two versions.
Okay.
Two versions. That
it's like I would honestly
look at and say, I'll take.
I would almost rather that you just wrap the car in car lease stuff.
And then I'll let you have that car for $50 a month.
Well, yeah,
that. Now
we're talking about a completely different. Now you're talking about my BMW deal.
Can discuss that.
I have Technoria in my car, which is a great part of the deal. But listen, if you want a carlease.com wrap car, I'm in need for a car pretty soon here, so we can have that conversation. No, it's just it's just funny to me because it's one of those things that I've always thought was a big pain. So I was like, what, really? Like, come on. Like,
I look at them on every... I'm gonna get in an accident one of these days because now I'm trained. I'm just
looking makes to sense
see
for
what
you.
Other people are doing. Yeah.
Of course. Well, let's segue real quick. We got a little more time here. Let's segue into you personally because this is... You know, I love leasing. I'm not sure I would get into being the CEO of CarLease. Like, I don't know enough about it. What is your background and sort of what got you to this point?
Sure. My background has been in product and technology for 10 years. I'm a nerd in that sense. I really like marketplace businesses. I've really liked this industry. I previously worked at Cars.com here in Chicago back in the day, and that's where I first met a handful of people who are involved in the company now, from investor, board level, our product and technology, and everything else like that. So I love the challenge. I love how big it is and how big of an impact it could be. And I think I'm a glutton for punishment because I like these big, meaty problems of thinking, okay, at scale, we could really make an impact. From here to getting there, it's going to be really tough and we're going to have to roll up our sleeves. So I just enjoy that challenge a lot.
I think I was talking about this today with my guys. Like, I'm like under a lot of stress and just like, there's so many things we're trying to get done for Technoria that I'm like losing my mind, but at the same time, like, it's exciting. So it's like, yeah. I think I would be bored out of my mind if it was like, well, solve this problem. It's like, well, that's easy. I mean, what kind of idiot can't solve? Like, that would that would be annoying to me. So it's, I totally get where you're coming from, where it's like a glutton for punishment. Like, I almost like getting punched in the face.
Yeah. Well, and it's changing too. You think you've solved it, and then 2 days, I mean, if you're looking in the media space right now, and then the automotive and tech space, it's changing like crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you think you've got it down, we'll wait 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And some huge announcement will happen and something will take place.
It's true. I mean, I was talking about like if right now I feel like we're kind of in a holding pattern with some stuff, and I'm like, I'm waking up feeling like I just have to just do things to do it. There's no struggle. There's nothing I can do to change the dichotomy here. And it makes me feel like I have no direction, so that I feel like there's no mission for me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we have a mission as a company. Obviously, we're doing what we're doing. But like right now, to solve the internal problems I'm trying to solve, I'm just status quo. And that, like, it's very hard to wake up every day and be like, oh, I'm just going to do more of the same. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I enjoy that. I see that. And you obviously must really enjoy that kind of stuff. And we were talking about this before, and the irony. So you were the former chief product officer at Curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
We just had them on the show on, was it Tuesday? We just had them on the show. So I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. You would have waited a little while. You'd have been in here regardless. we were going to talk regardless. So tell me on the product side, if that's where you're coming from. I think it's interesting because previously you'd see a lot of lead sales or finance or legal that would end up in the CEO role of things. Mm-hmm. And I'm noticing now, particularly in the tech space, that was more 10 years ago and every forever before that. Now in the tech space, you're seeing it's the product user marketing to a certain extent, depending on where you're coming from and in your industry, that are finding themselves in the chief officer role because the importance of solid product, solid user, solid understanding of connection with customers, like that's all we have, right? Yep. That's our stickiness. So how has that been an advantage, and sort of where do you see the CEO meets product hat?
Sure. I think you see a lot of that, specifically in the tech space, is because typically that product role sits right at the epicenter of all the other disciplines at the company and are working with all the other stakeholders at the company, fighting for the user and fighting for their team to make sure that they're really building the right product for the customer, and they're helping their team do it. And the team could be just the people right directly that they work with. The team also really expands out to the rest of the company. And so you think about that role, they have to be aware of every discipline in the company, from marketing to legal to tech and sales. And they need to be able to triangulate all the needs of all the stakeholders internally while fighting for the external, the biggest, best stakeholder of all is the customer. And so you can see that they have this discipline to grow through the organization and balance all of these different pieces. And so they have the knowledge of that. And for most organizations, the product team and the product leader are also responsible for the execution on actually not just saying, here's what the customer wants, but here's how we're going to deliver it. Here's the team that's going to do it. And we're actually going to build it and be judged on whether there's a product market fit. Did we actually solve that customer's problem?
Yep.
So you're seeing that. And because the product role in tech companies has been so intertwined so deeply as tech, you know, as here in Chicago and anywhere else, you're seeing that that's a natural place for that to grow into the CEO role.
Do you feel like, I mean, obviously your background, were you into like big tech kid coming up? Like, what was the,
I've been a tech nerd.
Just nerded out since day one. So then learning the, so like typically we get like the tech nerds in that, like, they have a very hard time learning the management role and sort of taking that, like, dealing with other humans.
Yep.
Have you found the adjustment? And I don't even know if this is this the first CEO job you've had?
Yeah, founded a company and moved here in 2011, but much smaller scale.
So with this, like, have you found that it has been more or less difficult to not just control the team that's controlling one thing, but rather being the lead, the orchestra? Does that?
Yeah, it's definitely different. And I think, you know, that was one thing in that, you know, coming into this role. Clay Johnson is our VP of Product and Technology. He was my former boss at Cars.com.
Oh, nice.
And brilliant. And I knew coming into the role, this is different. This is CEO role. This is not head of product role. And, you know, find to hire your weaknesses.
Sure.
And so finding great sales, great marketing, great product, because you really need to be able to cultivate people that are better at those disciplines than even you are at any of those disciplines.
Which it certainly, in your case, definitely helps to have an expertise level that you have in some of the spaces that are the most key in here. Like, that's the one thing for me I've always like tried to, I don't want to say I'm afraid of it, but it's always been one of those things where, like, I've always been afraid of being in a spot where I didn't know what's going on. I'm always afraid of being in a position where it's like, these people are coming to me and saying, this is a problem. And I'm like, I don't even know why it's a problem. Yep. And so I've always spent a lot of time on, like, some of the major key areas of any business to feel like, listen, if somebody comes to marketing, I understand what your problems are. Cost conversions, whatever. Like, I get it. We're talking about finance. Like, this is the problem. We have this much debt relief that we have to, like, I get it. I'm not a financial, you know, accounting guy, but I get it. Like, having that sort of background is so key. And it's funny to me that there's certain people, they may not think that they're CEOs, but they just find themselves in that spot and they flourish in it because it just, they're just that kind of person. It seems like everything I've heard about you is that you're that kind of person.
So. Yeah, it's one that I gravitate towards and take great pride in and want to learn constantly on how to be better at it.
I think
if you're not thinking about how do I be better at this role, which a lot in cases is how do I just help my team be better? So that's one thing I gravitate
towards. I think it has to be an obsession, though. Like, that's the one thing I would say. If, you know,
That's the glutton for punishment part.
Yeah, it is.
I have to be obsessed, you know, with how I can improve and how I can help everybody else.
But it's a natural thing, though. I always hate this conversation of, like, is it nature versus nurture? Do you, you trade, whatever? Entrepreneurs, born or great, like, whatever.
Yep.
Having interviewed about 700, whether it's entrepreneurs, investors, CEOs, whatever, there's a clear line that I notice on the ones that excel. Like, you can run a company that's simple, like anyone can kind of do it for the most part, so long as it's not too big and crazy. The ones that excel every time, every stop along the way, are the ones who are just absolutely obsessed. It doesn't matter. Like, right now I wear Technori everything, Technori PJs. And if I was the CEO of another company, I would wear those PJs because I'm obsessed with learning about all the things that are going on with it. And it's like, any person I talk to, if at the end of it, I'm like, they didn't feel like they really were, like, obsessed with it. I'm like, I'm not sure that's going to go well.
Yeah.
And you've got it made on that one.
So. Oh, I'm always harassing people in every...
So they love it. Yeah. So you have the same impact.
Are you looking for a car? You know, how was it? What was the experience
every single
like?
Person I see in the street. Do you like tech? You should check this out. Do you ever invest in companies? I got this guy. Yeah. Well, I'm the guy, but you should talk to... asking for a friend.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. This is great. Another thing that we were told is you've got a $250 promo running for the cost off your first lease with CarLease. If you listen to this entire podcast, you get this. If you don't, you don't get it. That's how this works. So at any rate, we leave it at the end of it. Where do people go? Obviously, CarLease.com is where you go. Any parting words where to follow and stay up to date with what you guys do and learn more about it? Where do people go?
Follow us on LinkedIn, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook. You'll find us all those links on CarLease.com.
Very cool.
And, you know, we really want a lot of people here in Chicago to be able to experience the good experience that a lot of people have already had. And so, you know, this type of audience that gets what we're doing, they get that there's a new experience that's possible. Give us a try.
And I can tell you, because I haven't wrapped my car yet in CarLease.com, I'm not a paid spokesperson.
Yep.
So I'll say this now before that's the case. If you don't lease, I'm going to make the same pitch I'm saying to all my friends. I shouldn't do this because they keep saying no to me. So obviously I'm not very good at this. I could not do your job.
We have a lot of content they can educate themselves.
Yeah, you guys can read this up. I'm telling you, if you are a person, particularly a younger person who's starting a career or whatever, do not go buy a junker and watch it just drain money. Do not go buy a 7-year commitment that's not... Listen, I know I have friends who have car loans that are longer than their marriages.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, legit... lease a car, be cool. If you have a chance with an electric car, do that. Don't even have to pay for gas. It's awesome. So check out CarLease.com. Andy, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. You can catch this episode and more at technori.com. You can download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.